It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP. A 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter, hit us up at hashtag GiantsChat. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com as we discuss everything New York football, Giants, and the NFL. Quiet couple of days, guys, really. We haven't had another mock draft release by any of the major guys, whether it's Kiper, McShay, or anybody like that. Mike Mayock will not have his mock draft out until next week. And really, just a whole, not a lot going on. And I think this is the price you pay when you move the draft back 2 weeks. You feel like it should have been done already. And this is when you get into all that paralysis by analysis stuff. And everybody overanalyzes all these guys. They try to find all these faults in these players. Guys rise, guys fall, often without good reason. Like the whole Teddy Bridgewater thing. It confused the hell out of me how this guy can go from being a top five pick to now being a second rounder just because of his frame and what he did at his pro day in terms of accuracy. To me, that seems absolutely crazy and bonkos. I don't get it. Like, people didn't know what his height and weight was when he was in college. Well, you see his frame in person, you wonder, how can he survive? Come on. The kick and play quarterback, the kick and play quarterback. And speaking of quarterbacks, the New York Giants made a move yesterday, bringing in Rusty Smith to be the now fifth quarterback on their roster, believe it or not. And a lot of Giant fans started freaking out on Twitter to me yesterday. And, patience. All information will come to those that wait. Eventually, you found out the reason that move got made was because Curtis Painter had to undergo knee surgery last week, and he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. So, obviously, the Giants need another arm in camp, the same way Eli Manning is not going to participate. Neither is Curtis Painter. You need three quarterbacks in camp to throw the ball to people. So now you have two more guys and Josh Freeman and Rusty Smith, and you go from there. And, of course, Ryan Nassib. And, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that this is going to be a great opportunity for Ryan Nassib to get some reps, to get working, and will really give him an opportunity to, show this Giants coaching staff what he can do. A lot of people out there want to give up on Ryan Nassib. He's a good kid. He works hard. Give him a chance. Maybe he can figure things out this year and, be good enough to be the backup. And then you work from there. Maybe you build his value back up, then you can trade him in a year if he shows you something. But, that's something that, you'll keep an eye on. But with Painter and Eli going out, Nassib is going to have an opportunity here to show you something, which is good. Very good. So the Giants move on. They have the draft coming up in 9 days now, excuse me. Busy week this week for us. Tomorrow morning, Dane Brugler will join us from CBS Sports. Tony Pauline, who's been, doing this draft stuff for decades over at Draft Insider, he's on Thursday. Then we're working on one of the NFL Network guys on Friday. And then next week, Matt Miller from Bleacher Report will join us. Pete Domelatis will join us. Meadow will be with us this Friday. And then coming up next Friday, Tina will be with us next Thursday and probably Saturday. So all that stuff on the docket should be a lot of fun. 201-939-4513. Let's have fun with you guys, the callers, and we'll start out with John down in Virginia first. John, what's going on?
Well, I'm really impressed with the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. And he can play more than one. He can play more than just offensive tackle, and I really think he'd be our best bet for our first pick.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, and I had this conversation with Paul Dottino 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I'm like, Paul, I simply would not take Zach Martin over Terrell Lewan at 12. But his position flexibility, I think, is a big deal. I think he's a much safer pick than Terrell Lewan, even though maybe his upside isn't quite as high. So right now, honestly, I would be okay with picking Zach Martin at 12. I know 3 or 4 weeks ago I was in the camp, well, I'd only pick him if I trade down. I've kind of gone off of that a little bit. I think if certain people are off the board, I think Martin would be a very good, safe, and reliable pick at number 12 to help fortify that offensive line.
I agree with you. And as a matter of fact, I think he's much quicker, too, on his feet.
Yeah, he can move well. He's not as long, though, which is an issue with the arm length and the height. And I think Lawan overall probably has more of a body to be a left tackle. I think Zach Martin probably projects more as a right tackle or a guard than he does the guy on the left side, while Lawan's your traditional left tackle. And but that, the thing about it, though, that's okay for the Giants. You know, they hope they have a guy in Will Beatty who's going to bounce back and be that left tackle. So if Martin can step in, you know, either be the right tackle, move Pugh inside, or leave Pugh there and move Martin inside, I think everyone would be fine with that.
But also, it has been proven that you don't have to be a big guy to be an excellent or outstanding tackle or guard, as long as you have that quickness and speed.
Well, there aren't that many short offensive tackles out there. I mean, if you're going to be an offensive tackle in this league, you better be a minimum of 6'4". There aren't really many, you know, 6'1", 6'2", offensive tackles. They just get eaten up by those, you know, lanky, long, and athletic defensive ends.
I can agree to a point, but as long as you got that quickness and speed and you can beat them, you have it made.
Appreciate the call, John.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. You too. There's a reason they have body types for offensive tackles. They have to block defensive ends. And you have certain body types for defensive ends. So, you know, generally speaking, you're not going to find any short, stocky offensive tackles. That's not how the position works. But Martin has the athleticism. And again, I'm not sure if he projects to be a starting left tackle forever based on some of those measurables. But, you know, maybe he can do it too. Who knows? I think you give him the opportunity. And then that gives you another backup for Will Beatty in case he, you know, has some issues. But again, in the first round, there's a big drawback to taking an offensive lineman around number one. That really hampers your ability to get a big-time playmaker. Then you got to go wide receiver in round two. Hope you find the best out of that first tier is maybe still on the board. You know, maybe the injury concerns drop Marquise Lee all the way down there. Maybe you can grab a guy like Davante Adams, or maybe you like a guy like Dante Moncrief, any of those guys. Maybe you can get him there in round two. And then, you know, honestly, the more I've thought about it, if I don't pick Ebron in round one, I think I'm willing to wait for C.J. Fedorowicz in round three rather than, you know, use my second-round pick on a Nicholas or use my second-round pick on a Safarian Jenkins. I'll take Fedorowicz in round three, and, you know, I'll teach him. And he might not have the upside of a Safarian Jenkins, but I think he'll be good enough. He'll be just as good as Nicholas, in my opinion, or at least close to it. Safarian Jenkins has some off-the-field issues, too, that are red flagged, but I'd be okay with him in the second round, too. And I think I'm leaning towards now, in the second round, if I had my choice between Troy Nicholas and Safarian Jenkins, I think I'd take Safarian Jenkins because I think he can not only block a little bit, he can also give you more of that dynamic receiver in the passing game. And I think that's important to get out of a tight end these days. 201-939-4513. David's up in the Bronx. What's up, David?
Hey there, John. Good morning.
What's up, Dave?
How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Yeah, I want to make a statement on the draft, and then I'm going to basically get off the phone.
Sure.
And let you get the pros and cons of everything. You know, back in 1986, the Giants had four number two draft picks. I would like to suggest maybe it might be best that we trade out of the first round altogether, pick up as many twos and threes and maybe fours, four pick that we can get, and go and get some good players from the draft, like Austin Safarian Jenkins, Martavius Bryant, and a few others during those rounds, because, like you said, it seems like the drop-off in talent is not that much. And so That's what I like to see.
Well, I was more talking about, you know, the tight end talent from round two to round three. I mean, there is going to be a significant drop-off in talent from who you get at 12 as compared to who you get in the second round. Now, if you trade your number 12 pick and you drop all the way, say, to, like, number 30 or something like that, yeah, you could probably get, like, a 2 and a 3, you know, to make that type of move. And, you know, that's not, you know, you might be able to get more than that, quite frankly. If you're moving all the way down to, like, 29 or 30 from 12, you might be able to get next a 1 from another team from next year's draft. But, I mean, I think that's something you can consider if someone there at 12 doesn't, you know, tickle your funny bone. It's not somebody that you say, wow, this guy can be a dominant pro. I need him on my team. If there's nobody there that really, you know, strikes you as a difference maker, you can do something like that. But my guess, though, David, is that the Giants will find somebody at 12 that they think can be an immediate impact player starter, and that's the guy they're going to pick.
Yeah, of course. I keep on hearing about my two favorites, Evans and now Donald. Going to be off the board. The Raiders is like enamored with Donald.
There is a chance both guys might not be there.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Real bummer. Well, John, as always, thank you for the privilege for being on your show, and you have a good day.
Hey, you too, David. Thank you for calling in. 201-939-4513. Tom Rock from Newsday will join us at 10 o'clock to talk about the draft, see what kind of things his sources are telling about who the Giants are targeting, what they're thinking, what their thought process is, etc. Let's go to Roy in Rockaway, New Jersey. Roy, what's going on?
John, how are you?
Doing well, Roy. How about you?
Good. I think the discussion about Luan and Donald is kind of moot. I think they're all going to be gone. I think that you can forget about Evans. You can forget about Luan. I think that the three offensive tackles and obviously Clowney and Mack are going to be gone, and I think that the way Donald has shot up, I think he's going in the top 10, and I've read that Luan is a lock to go in the top 10, and Evans may go 5 or 6. So I think the issue is whether there is someone like Ebron who drops to 12. I think I have a feeling that Ebron's actually going to be there at 12 when the Giants pick, and the question is he a guy that they have rated high enough to take at 12 as opposed to Zach Martin?
Well, I can tell you right now, Roy, what they're doing upstairs, and I was talking to one of our scouts yesterday. Right now, they are in the process of going through every single player in this draft and putting a grade on them. So, you know, different guys might have different grades, but now is the time, and this week is when they're literally going through every single player on their draft board, putting a grade on them, and then obviously you put them in order based on what their grades are. So, anyone that says they know where the Giants have certain players ranked, they don't, because they haven't actually gone through the process and finished it yet. That's what they're doing this week. So we'll see. I'm not sure if they're going to have a high enough grade on Ebron to warrant picking him at 12. You know, maybe they'll like a receiver like an Odell Beckham better than him. I don't know. To me, from what I've seen, I believe Eric Ebron is worth the 12th pick in the draft. I think he fills a hole at tight end, and I think he gives you a weapon on offense that can get those double teams away from Victor Cruz. And again, you could talk about Victor Cruz wanting Mike Evans. That's great. I think the bigger message you take out of that, Roy, is that Victor Cruz knows if he's going to get doubled the way he did the last half of last season, he's not going to have a whole lot of production. You got to bring somebody in here that can take the attention off of Victor Cruz.
I agree. I mean, I think that I'm ready to let Reuben Randall be the 2, have Jernigan or give him a shot at the 3, see what Manningham gives him. But if you take Ebron at 12, there's your weapon. You can flex him out or you can have him in line. I mean, everyone talks about him not blocking, but he wasn't really asked to block a lot, and he's a high effort guy. So I think that'll come. So if you draft Ebron at 12. You have the rest of the draft to, you know, focus on taking the best player, and you can solidify the offensive line interior. You know, maybe get the Marcus Martin, the kid from USC, or Weston Richburg in the second round.
Two great choices.
Yeah, I mean you would solidify your center position for 10 years. You would still have guys like Brown and Jerry and the question is whether Beattie's going to come back healthy and if he's going to play better than he did last year. But I think that would give them, first of all, it would clear up the only remaining problem roster area that they have, which is tight end, and they could start bolstering the rest of the roster with the rest of the draft. I think it's, you know, I just don't know if Ebron's the kind of guy that Jerry Reese is going to have a high grade on. And, you know, as for Zach Martin will probably be a Pro Bowl guard. He's kind of like Pugh in that he has the shorter arms, but he started more games at Notre Dame than anyone else, and that has to count for something. So I guess if they took him at 12, it's not the sexiest pick. I would prefer to see them drop down, but, you know, it's not the worst thing. And just one last thing, John,
yeah.
When you talked about them dropping back to 30, I actually looked at that the other day. The 49ers have the 30th pick. The 49ers also have 2 second-round draft picks.
They have a ton.
They have a ton. And if you do the and I don't know if, you know, with the new CBA and the fact that you can control a first-round player for 5 years, that probably makes late first-round picks more valuable than they used to be. So teams may be hesitant to drop back out of the first round into the second round, knowing that they can control that player. If they get a player at 30, they can control them for 5 years under the CBA. But if the Giants drop back to 30, they could theoretically get a 2 and a 3 from San Francisco. And San Francisco has been rumored to be looking to move up. And I don't know who they're targeting, and I don't know if a guy they would want would still be there at 12, but that's something to think about. I wouldn't mind the Giants moving back to 30 because, frankly, I think they would get a really good player at 30, maybe a Seferian Jenkins or someone like that, and then you'd have 2 picks in the second round, 2 in the third, and you could end up bolstering the roster more than you could the way it is right now.
I get the plan. Look, Roy, I wouldn't be opposed to that if the guy that's there at 12 is not somebody you think is going to be a star. I happen to think Ebron can be that guy. I think he's a difference maker. I don't think you can get a player of that caliber picking at 30. But if he's off the board and if you really don't think that, you know, Zach Martin is that much of a better player than, say, a, you know, David Yankee or a Xavier Sila, you know, a Sila Falo, you know, that guy.
Yep.
You know, if you really think they're comparable players, then, yeah, trading down probably is honestly a good idea because, as Mike Farmer just put on Twitter, if they draft Zach Martin this year, he's probably starting at guard for you. He's probably not even starting at tackle. So, you know,
unless Beattie's not healthy.
Right, exactly.
In
so,
which case
so
you might have to.
Why would you want to waste a first-round pick on a guy that's going to likely start at guard when you can get another guy that can likely start at guard for you with your second-round pick? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. That's the way I'd like to see it. I just don't know what Jerry thinks, what they're going to end up grading Ebron at. I hope you're right. I agree with you 100%. That's what I want him to do, but who knows?
We will see, Roy. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it. My man, Mr. Easy to You on Twitter wants to know why nobody's talking about Gabe Jackson at guard. Can you hit on that? Look, I think the reason nobody's talking about Gabe Jackson at guard, Easy, is that he's probably not going to, you know, get off the board till the second and maybe even the third round. I've seen him dropping on some boards a little bit. You know, he's kind of in the mix with the Cyro Richardson, another guy that I know a lot of people like. Is to be a second or third round pick. So I think people really just focus, I think, on the first couple of rounds and, you know, the first round specifically, and don't really talk about the stuff that's going to happen on day two. But, you know, Gabe Jackson is a guard. That's someone that'll certainly be on the Giants' radar. That's something they would consider taking him if he's available there in the second or third round. They still haven't taken an offensive lineman. He'd certainly be in the conversation, as would all those guards and, you know, guards and centers. You know, we mentioned Weston Richburg already. We mentioned Trey Turner, Yankee, the X-Men. I'm going to go with Patty Train on that. I'm going to stop trying to butcher that name. Gabe Jackson, Cyril Richardson's another guy, another guard out there that's a good player. I don't have my list in front of me, but I think, you know, those are some pretty good names out there of guards that, you know, can eventually do something. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones and go to Rich down in Tampa Bay next. Rich, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, John. What's going on?
Nothing much, Rich. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, first I want to say I'm just pumped about the draft. I just can't wait. I look at the dang computer just about every day looking at the mock draft boards and whatnot. But I wanted to see where your head's at, John.
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's just say, and I know this isn't going to happen, but if these four players were on the board, let's say Ebron, Donald, Lewin, or Mike Evans, if one of those four guys were on the board, which one would you prefer? And the second thing I'd like to also touch base on is a possibility of maybe Steven Truitt in the second round or a Davante Adams.
All right, well, I'll touch on your second question first. Davante Adams, I think, is a good wide receiver. If you don't pick a wide receiver in round number one, I think he'd be a guy you could definitely look at in round number two. I think he's a good football player. I'm not a big Stephon Tuitt guy. He's more of a 3-4 defensive lineman. I talked to a couple of people that have watched him on tape around the league, and, you know, frankly, they haven't been that impressed with him either. I like the Scott Crichton kid out of Oregon State a lot more. I think he's more of a traditional 4-3 defensive end that can get after the passer. He's got a good motor. DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end out of Boise State, I think is a better fit here too, based on the fact that he's a traditional 4-3 player and can, you know, really rush that passer a little bit. Now, on your first question, what were my four options at 12? Give me the names one more time.
Your four options were Donald, Lewin, Mike Evans, or Eric Ebron.
I go Mike Evans first. I go Ebron second. I go Donald third, and I go Luan fourth. That's my order.
Okay. All right. Well, I do agree with you. I just see that you're really high on Ebron. It's, you know, I think my biggest concern with Ebron, and I think he's a great athlete, great player. You know, they said his blocking is questionable, but who knows, because we didn't really see it in college.
Right.
I just believe him at 12 is he's more of a risk for us than any of the other players are. And that's just my opinion.
No, you know what? I think that's fair. I think Ebron is a little bit of a risk because, you know, you're rolling the dice that you can teach him to a certain extent to be a blocker. But to me, Ebron is a sure thing in terms of his ability as a receiver. I mean, as a tight end, he was North Carolina's number one option on offense. I mean, literally, he was their best receiver. You know, he was better than their wide receiver. So he was a number one option in college, got all the attention, and still had probably the best season as a tight end in ACC history. So he had a really unbelievable year for them. So I think as a receiver, as a pass catcher, he is pretty much a sure thing.
I agree with you on that one there, John.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for answering my questions there.
Hey, Rich, no problem. Thanks for calling in, bud. We got a lot of new names on the list today. I like that. Mike Farmer said, take a look at the Niners depth chart if you want to have a good laugh. Well, this isn't updated. So the 49ers need to update their website. They still have Carlos Rogers as their starting cornerback. So I'm better, you know, maybe have Neelay call over his folks over at 49ers.com and update that. Maybe CBS Sports has a better depth chart for them over there. Let's see. Who does CBS Sports have as their corners? Let's see. I guess that's Tremaine Brock, Culliver. Culliver is a decent player. Cook, yeah, they could use a cornerback. So that wouldn't shock me. The Niners do have a ton of picks. Now, Rich was right about that. Or was that Roy that mentioned the Niners? I think it was Roy. They have a ton of picks. So if they want to trade up and deal one of their twos to try to get a Darquez Dennard or Justin Gilbert, and I guarantee you one of those two, if not both, would probably be available at 12 for the Giants. Let me look at the Niners' total picks here. Let me see what exact picks the 49ers have. Because I think they will probably move up at some point, maybe not in the first round, but they could move up in round two or something like that to try to – and that's the beauty of having all these picks, is that you can really, you know, decide a player you want, and then you have the ammunition and the resources to go out there and get them, which I think is a pretty cool thing. So here are the Niners' picks this year. They have their first-round pick, which is the 30th. They have their second-round pick from the Chiefs, which is 56. Their own second-round pick, which is 61st. Three third-round picks, including one compensatory pick that's 100. They have the Titans pick, which is 77. A fourth, a fifth, and three sevenths. So they have 11 total picks in this year's draft. So, I mean, you could probably, if they want to move from 30 to 12. Let me just do the math for you real quick, and then I'll take a call before we get to Tom Rock from Newsday. Let me see. NFL draft trade chart. I should really bookmark this thing. You figure one of these days I'd actually do that, wouldn't you think? Nah, but I don't. I have to Google search every single time. All right. Well, I usually use the Walters football one. I'm going to use the Pro Football Talk because I think this one's probably updated. If the Niners want to move from 30, which is a 620 value, to 12, which is a 1,200 value, that's about 600 points. They'd probably have to trade two number twos, probably, to move up there, or they could trade next year's one or something like that. So that's what it would take, pretty much. I mean, you would trade that. That's 600. The 600 difference. You basically trade two twos or a one next year in order to move up if you want. If you're the 49ers, and they have the ammunition to do it. I mean, they have a lot of picks, so it's something they could do if they decide they want to move up in round number one. 201-939-4513. We'll get Tom Rock from Newsday up in just a second. But for now, let's go to Steven in Florida. Steven, what's up, buddy?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, Steven. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just read an interesting thing I sent to your Twitter account. I never read this guy before, Jordan Renan.
Jordan came up. He joined the Giants beat about the middle of last season.
Okay, because he just had an interesting article I read. And it seems that he has some inside knowledge from the Giants. And when you get a chance, check that article.
This morning?
Yeah, yeah. He said the Giants really do not like Ebron. And he actually discounted. He listed that the top 10 players that the Giants could draft. And he, you know, from his sources, which he said numerous sources, that they're not really that high on him.
That's interesting, considering that they haven't actually made their draft board yet. So I think it's kind of interesting that he actually knows who the Giants like when the Giants haven't even gone through the process themselves yet.
I don't know. I never heard of him. I don't know his cachet or whatever. But you know, they, according to him, you know, they love Zach Martin, and he had the kid, the wide receiver from LSU, up there high. You know
what, Beckham?
Yeah, Beckham. Which, you know, kind of makes sense. It's look, you know. Listening for weeks and weeks, and you know, like you made a comment last week. I hope they don't do this again. The NFL next year, you know, the NFL is a great model for all the other professional sports of what they've done and have made themselves as powerful as they have, and run the league really well. But I think they're almost getting over the top now, where they're spreading things out and making everything a big production, and it's very frustrating, you know, to sit for weeks and hear the same BS banter, you know, who they're going to draft, and, you know, it's like, let's get this show on the road, you know.
Well, you know what, I just referenced this article, and I haven't read the prologue to his rankings,
right?
But his top 10 rankings seem a little bit strange to me. I mean, he is Zach Martin ahead of Jake Matthews, which to me is somewhat insane. I haven't seen one person on any draft or expert saying that they like Zach Martin more than Jake Matthews. He has Clinton Dix ahead of Mike Evans. I mean, that's borderline psychotic.
Yeah, well,
honestly,
you know,
it's borderline psychotic.
This whole safety thing too, even with Will Hill, I find it interesting. To me, there's no way on God's green earth that the Giants take a safety, even if all of their plans fall by the wayside. Listening to you, I know you kind of agree with me. You know, look, Stevie Brown's a little question mark. Cooper Taylor, they drafted high, and getting Quinton Demps and so on and so forth. There's no way. You know, maybe they'll take one in the middle rounds, but I think the Giants are still pretty good at safety with or without Will Hill. I mean, obviously.
I agree 100%. You got Stevie Brown and all those picks a couple of years ago, and you know, you have Quinton Demps who starred in the league, and you have Cooper Taylor who you drafted last year. So I think, I think you have more than enough depth. If you want to get, if you want to use a middle round pick on one, that's fine. I don't think you need to use a one or a two.
Yeah. But you know, I think everything really comes down to, you know, Will Beattie, and how the Giants feel about him, about his health, about his future, and they did as great as they did this offseason, they still have a ton of holes to fill, and it just really depends on who they see as the best player taken. But I kind of agree with you. I like to go in for the guard in the second round because there are going to be great guards available when they pick, and to take a tackle to me makes no sense, really. I mean, you know, aside from all the money they have invested in Beattie, you got to give the guy one more year. If he don't perform this year, then, you know, move on. I mean, next year and the year after, a lot of people keep forgetting how much more salary cap will be available in the NFL.
There will be. That's
true. 155 and 165, and I just read this morning they're under $4 million. They still have $4 million under the cap. So the Giants are going to be in great shape, and, you know, look, can they contend for a Super Bowl this year? I'm not really so sure, but, you know, we're talking about building blocks for the next couple of years. So I think Will Beattie really is the pivot to this whole thing and what where they feel. And, you know, when they make their first pick, I guess we'll find out.
Nah, right? It's a great point.
Yeah. All right, John. Well, it was great talking to you.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the call, and thanks for the link. I appreciate it. You're right. I think based on what they think about Will Beattie is probably a very big indication of what they'll do in the first round. What they do in the first round will indicate to a lot of people what they think about Will Beattie. Now, I'll go through this list that Jordan had on NJ.com. And, again, he says he's going through league and team sources. So, you know, take this for whatever you want. You know, people lie around this time of year. So, basically, he said that, you know, the Giants don't have any interest in Ebron. I haven't heard that. You know, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But his 1 through 10 in this order, Zach Martin, Jake Matthews, Clinton Dix, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I'm not surprised Odell Beckham Jr. is that high in this list. I've heard very good things about him from people around the league. He could be in the mix for the Giants at 12. Aaron Donald at 6, Luan at 7, Mosley at 8, Barr at 9, and Shazier at 10. I find it a little odd, some of the numbers. But, again, this is the time of year where people in the front office lie and misdirect. So take that for what it's worth. We can get a take from another Giants beat reporter. That is Tom Rock from Newsday. He joins us on the line on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. Tom, what's going on, bud? How are you?
I like that you used the words lying and misdirection right before you introduced me. That's very comforting to know. Thanks.
Well, Tom,
How are you?
I'm doing great, and I expect nothing but deception and Game of Thrones-esque machinations from you for the next 10 minutes.
It's a big smokescreen, and we got an extra 2 weeks of it this year, and so it's a lot of fun and a lot of fog to swipe away and try to get down to what's actually happening, and we probably won't really know what's actually happening until May 8th at about 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and this damn thing we should have known about 4 days ago if the NFL decided to have this thing when they used to have it, but now we got to wait another 9 days or so until we finally start figuring stuff out. Well, let's try to clear away some of the smoke here, Tom. What the Giants might be thinking here at 12. What do you perceive as the Giants' major goals, aside from the perfunctory pick the best available player? Is this going to be a very heavy offense draft like many people expect?
Well, I think it's a very talented offensive draft. So if they go the way they did with free agency, which was look where the talent is and look where the values are, and then go for those, then I think yes, the offense will be the target of a lot of these higher draft picks. Obviously, I think they still need to do work on the offensive line. I don't think that's a completed project. They don't have a starting center that they can count on. The one guy they brought in, He hasn't played in 2 years, so it's hard to say that he's your starting center. They brought in a couple of veteran pieces, but they really haven't rebuilt anything. They've sort of patched it back together. And I think they still need to focus in on the long term health of that offensive line, so that last year's situation doesn't happen again for a long time. Obviously, they haven't addressed the tight end situation. I think they still need a playmaker wide receiver, and probably another running back that they can develop in case David Wilson does wind up having a shorter career than anybody wants to or anticipates him having.
And I think it was pretty interesting. We had a chance to talk to Will Beattie last week for the first time, and he spoke for a very long time out on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like we got a ton of clarity as to when he's actually going to be back. He was purposely vague about it. What's your feel from your people inside the organization as to when they think Will Beattie is going to be able to get on the field and really start doing stuff?
We had a couple of guys in a similar situation last year, Hynoski and JPP, who started the year started training camp rather on pup and just not practicing, and the goal was to get them ready for the opener. And I think that's the goal with Will Beattie. Whether or not he can do that, we saw that didn't work out too well with Hynoski, and it didn't work out too well with JPP. And it was those artificial deadlines are hard to meet because when the body heals at its own rate. And so I think it would be smart for the Giants to have a backup plan at that position. And maybe that plan is moving Justin Pugh over. Maybe it's putting in one of the guys that they brought in and plugging him in there for a couple of games until Beattie can literally get his legs underneath him. But I don't think they're inking Will Beatty in at left tackle for the opener just yet.
All that being said, how likely do you think it is then, Tom, that the Giants could pick an offensive lineman in the first round for a second consecutive year?
I think it's pretty likely. I came out of the combine thinking that Zach Martin was the pick. And I think they like his versatility. They seem to like those kind of offensive linemen who they can move around and do different things with. That's what they liked about Justin Pugh last year, and I think that's what they would like about Zach Martin. And then I went through phases and looked at Eric Ebron, and then there was talk about Taylor Lewin. Oh, he was going to be a top four pick, and then no, he's going to drop down and he's going to be there at 12 again, Same with some wide receivers. The idea of Mike Evans maybe being there at 12. I don't know about that. So anyway, long story short, I've come full circle and I'm back to thinking that Zach Martin is going to be the pick, and that's just my belief. Nobody's outright told me that, but from what I've gleaned together and my own analysis, I think I wouldn't be. I'm leaning towards Zach Martin as the pick. He can play tackle, he can play guard, he can even play a little center, is what I was told. So that would certainly be a nice role for him to come in and find a spot with the Giants offensive line. And then you'd have two guys there in Pugh and Martin who you could at least, if their contracts work out, be there for a decade together. Sort of like Snead and Deal were together, and that wound up winning two championships. So hopefully, if Zach Martin can and Justin Pugh can win two championships, I think the Giants would be thrilled.
Why'd you eventually bounce off of Eric Ebron and decide he was not going to be the guy? At least in your gut, you think the Giants are going to pick in the first round.
Everybody says that, the Giants need a tight end, But then the more I listen to Ben McAdoo talk about how the offense is going to be personnel-driven and the type of offense that they're going to run, I don't necessarily think they need a big playmaking tight end. I think it would be a luxury, and I think it would be nice if they had one. But I think they'll still be able to structure the offense around it rather than try and force a position that they need filled. They just put the best players out there on the field, and so having a tight end, obviously Ebron, and maybe they'll look at it later in the draft and a different rounds and see what comes up, and certainly the jury's still out on Jermichael Finley. He's still a free agent and he's available, and if he's healthy enough, maybe later in the summer, that's something that they revisit. But I just didn't get the sense that getting that big tight end, that big playmaking tight end, was necessarily a priority for this offense. It would be a luxury, and they wouldn't turn their backs on it. But I didn't get the sense that was exactly what they needed.
Well, if they don't decide to then pick a playmaking tight end, and we're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday, Tom, does that necessitate them trying to at least on day two then picking up a wide receiver that they can at least provide some competition to the likes of Drell Jernigan and Reuben Randall? There should be a lot of good wide receivers on this board in round two and round three, and it's just a matter of the Giants finding which guy out of that large group they like the best.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now that I have in front of me on wide receivers, and it's pretty deep. There's these guys with who are graded in the first and second rounds, and it goes all the way down to a guy like Martavis Bryant from Clemson, a junior, and Allen Robinson from Penn State, another junior. There's a lot of talent here at wide receiver. That's probably one of the deepest positions that they have on the in this year's draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. They like to make I think John Mara made mention of this at the end of the season, that they wanted to take fewer risks in those middle rounds, and by middle rounds I mean second, third, fourth, fifth, and try and get more of a sure thing in those picks. And I think going with a wide receiver there would probably be a good safe pick for the Giants, knowing what they have and what their needs are.
And there are a lot of guys, a lot of, you know, experienced Jordan Matthews, you know, senior, a ton of production in college. There are a lot of guys there that could, I think, you're right, be considered probably a safer pick at the time. It's funny, you know, just thinking about the history and how Jerry Reese has done this before, we're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday, it keeps just creeping into my mind that are they going to try to find a pass rusher in this first round? Because it's just something that Jerry Reese has done so often in the past, and you can make the argument this team still does need some pass rushing help on the defensive line. You know, could a guy like Aaron Donald who can get after the quarterback from a defensive tackle position be somebody that they look at? Could they maybe find a defensive end? You know, nobody was even talking about Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, 4 years ago at this time. What's the chances they really prioritize trying to improve that pass rush?
Well, it does need some improvement. I don't think after last year, Matthias Kiwanuka can be counted on. It would be nice if he did have a big comeback year, but I don't think that's something that they can count on. And Jason Pierre-Paul, again, who knows what he's going to be able to bring after his injuries, and he's lost some weight, and that's good. I think, you know, he'll be able to use his best asset then, which is his athleticism and his speed. You know, but the first time he gets knocked over by a 320-pound tackle, I don't know, you know, that people are going to be saying, oh, it's a good thing he dropped all that weight. So you look at guys, you know, obviously I've heard Anthony Barr's name is attached to the Giants through other reports, not through anybody with the
right team.
You know, and he can be, you know, he can come down on the line and play a little linebacker. Aaron Donald, like you mentioned, as a defensive tackle who can sort of be a those are that you're asking guys to sort of come out of position to do those things. So that's a pretty tough chore. I think they made their pass rushing pick last year, and then brought in Ayers and then have JPP and Kiwanuka. So I wouldn't be surprised if they passed over a pass rusher this year.
Talking to Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, final question. From what you're hearing, from what you've seen, I'll give you a chance if you want to try to make a little prediction in terms of maybe a surprise that the Giants might pull on draft day in terms of something, you know, a position they might target that some people might not expect or something you think might go down that fans would raise an eyebrow and say, wow, I really didn't expect that to happen.
A surprise. You know, I don't think that the Giants are going to have a lot of surprises in them this year, just because of John Mara coming out, like I said earlier this offseason, and sort of saying that he didn't like the risks that they were taking with the draft picks. I'll say this: I think one of the possibilities, though, is that all of these quarterbacks. Where a lot of these quarterbacks start to fall, and they're all available at 12, and then that opens things up for the Giants to trade back. And I think it would not be a complete shocker to me if the Giants didn't make a first round pick this year, or at least pulled back and made a much lower first round pick, traded down, grabbed a few extra selections, and went that way, because you know if all of a sudden Bridgewater, Mandel, Carr. Maybe even Bortles was still on the board. That means that a lot of the guys that the Giants were projecting to be available at 12 and hoping for are probably gone because those picks are going to be made elsewhere with position players. So I think it wouldn't surprise me, but it would be sort of out of left field in terms of projecting things and mocking things that if the Giants did trade back. And pick up a few extra picks in what's really a very, very deep draft, as you said.
Tom, one more quickie for you, only because I keep getting asked this question. I don't have a good answer. Maybe you do. Have you done anything on this Will Hill situation, some type of timetable as to when the Giants might know or Will Hill might know or the NFL might announce, you know, what's going to happen with Will Hill with this reported, you know, drug violation and potential suspension?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't, and it's actually the more I think about it, it's sort of odd that we even heard about it to begin with. That he had failed that test. Usually, you don't hear about these things until after the appeal is done. So it's troubling. And I think that was going to be a big part of the Giants' defense, was having those three safeties in there, especially against the speedy running backs of the Eagles and the other offensive systems that are in the division now. So not having Will Hill available, or if the Giants decide that two strikes is enough, three strikes is enough, and they're going to cut bait on him, that's going to be a big blow to the defense, and it's going to be hard to replace him. The Giants don't have a player as physically talented as him in their secondary, so it's going to be a difficult one to replace. If in fact it does come down and he's suspended, or the Giants again decide to that enough is enough.
Tom, we'll see you on Thursday. That's when Jerry Reese empties his book of secrets and tells us all what he's going to do at the NFL draft, and we all look forward to that.
I'm sure it'll be very enlightening.
Tom, appreciate the time, man. Good stuff. We'll see you on Thursday, all right?
Thanks, John.
All right, that's Tom Rock from Newsday. Does a fantastic job. And, yeah, Jerry Reese will address the media 12:30, by the way, on Thursday. I'm assuming we're going to stream that live on Giants.com, right? Yeah, sure, why not? And, Jerry will say nothing for half an hour. We'll see if the media can get him to say the name of one NFL drafty potential prospect. I think they got one name out of him last year. He was just repeating. He didn't understand what a player said, what one of the reporters says. He was like, "Are you talking about?" And then he mentioned the name. But otherwise, he does a real good job of not tipping his hand, which is great. But again, I think, Tom thinking Zach Martin, and I think that's a popular pick that's going around. But, maybe the trade down thing could be an option this year, too. I don't think it's out of the question. If no quarterbacks or only one quarterback goes in that top 11, the fewer quarterbacks that go, the more likely I think it is that the Giants trade down. Because like Tom said, that means a lot of the guys they might think could have been there that they want aren't going to be there. But, again, if the Giants had to pick a 12, they can't find a partner. Very easily they can find somebody to pick there that's going to be an impact player, whether it's a Zach Martin, whether it's a Odell Beckham Jr., an Eric Ebron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 201-939-4513. Thanks for holding to that interview, guys. We'll get to you real quick in the order in which you call. Let's go to Billy in Virginia first. Billy, what's up?
Hey, John. How you doing this morning?
What's up, Billy? How are you?
Hey, not too bad. I just have a couple of quick things because somebody already brought up the Jordan Renan article.
Right.
One thing about the draft being in May that I really hate is this lull and all the speculation.
Oh, it's the worst.
We could be watching tape on the draft picks that the Giants made, but I wake up every morning and I turn on NFL Network and I expect them to have Miss Cleo on to predict the first 15 picks of the draft.
You might as well. You might as well.
Yeah.
What's
the
difference?
She'd do just as well as any of the experts.
Exactly.
So. The last thing is you had somebody on the other day and they were talking about Giants football and getting back to – just the bruising running and eating up the clock. And I just wanted to look at some numbers. And, in 1986 to 1990, which is when I think we did the real Giants football, the top five offenses scored an average of 24 points a game.
Right.
And in the last 5 years, the top five offenses have scored 30 points a game.
That sounds about right.
So, I mean, where would we find those extra 16 touchdowns to be competitive?
That's a good question.
With the weapons that we have right now, I just don't see it.
And look, I said it, I think it was last week, I made the point on the show. To me, Billy, if you want the Giants to be a playoff team next year, they're going to have to average 24 points a game. And that'll put them at around, 15th in the league. To me, if you're a top 15 offense, you're good enough to make the playoffs. If you're a bottom 10 offense, you're going to be hard-pressed to figure out a way to make the playoffs unless you have one of the best defenses in football. And as good as the Giants' defense is, I don't think it's quite that good. So in order for the Giants to get to that 24 points a game, I think right now they're probably a 20 to 21 point a game type of offense. If you want to add that extra 3, 4, 5 points to get to 24, 25 points a game, I think you still need to add a significant weapon and at the same time, continue to improve the offensive line. I think if you do both those things in the draft, somewhere in the first three rounds, I think you have a pretty good chance of winning this division and making the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And, and I understand you don't have to be a top five offense to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, but it definitely helps. But last thing, I'm still really excited to see the secondary take the field.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Billy.
All right, thanks, John.
No problem. Bye-bye. All right, guys, I see a really lot of good comments on hashtag Giants chat today on Twitter. I'm going to get to those in a bit, but these guys were holding to the Tom Rock interview, so I want to get to them first. Let's go to Ari in New Jersey. Ari, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ari. What's up?
Just got a couple of quick questions.
Yeah.
The first thing is, have you heard anything about Adrian Robinson, about, is he coming back healthy this year? Do they expect a lot out of him this year?
I mean, he's here. He's working. I've seen him walking around. I haven't seen any sort of limp. No one talked about him being, you know, held back or injured when the team was here, when the media was here and talked to the team for OTA. So I think he's in the program. You hope he can learn this offense quickly. That was one of the reasons he couldn't get on the field the last couple years. He had issues learning that offense of Kevin Gilbride's and, you know, being on the same page as everybody else. So hopefully he can do a lot better learning McAdoo's system.
Yeah, agreed. I've been high on him for a while. But the second thing is, as far as everybody, I would love a flashy offensive pick, but, you know, this game is won in the trenches. So I have to think the first two rounds, you got to go, or the first round, you got to go either O-line or D-line. I would love Aaron Donald, you know. I don't really know much about Coney Ealy, but, to get another good defensive end.
Yeah, honestly,
Coney
Ealy doesn't really excite me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I would pick Coney Ealy if I was picking in the last 7-8 picks of the first round. If I was even in the top 20, I would not pick Coney Ealy. I don't think he's that good, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. Yeah, so, like I said, I don't really know much about him. I'm really high on Aaron Donald, but, you know, he sounds like he's a great, great player for
us. He's a good player.
Yeah, so, the way I think it's got to be, he's got to go, first round, you got to really get, O-line, D-line, first two rounds. And then, they said that this is one of the deepest drafts for wide receiver. Go wide receiver, tight end, third and fourth rounds, and then, maybe get another O-line in fifth round. But I would also love if they traded up and traded down and got some extra picks, because there are definitely a lot of needs on this team.
I hear you, Ari.
One last question.
Yeah, sure.
I'm wondering if there's any kind of a Giants Day draft party that anybody's talking about, because I would love to, rather than have to go to the draft itself.
Well, I can tell you for sure, for season ticket holders, they do have a big draft party at the stadium the day of the draft. So obviously I don't know if you're a season ticket holder or not. Maybe you can leech on to somebody that is and, get their tickets. Aside from that, the team doesn't do much. Maybe the guys over at hashtag Giants chat on Twitter, you could check that out. I'm sure some of our fans on that listen to the show and everything like that on Twitter at hashtag Giants chat have stuff going on. Why don't you check that out? Maybe they can help you out with something.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Ari. Appreciate it. You too.
Great job with the show.
Thank you, man. 201-939-4513. Lost John in Virginia. Okay, he was holding. So, all right, I got through all the guys that were holding for that interview. Now I'm going to go through some of your points on Twitter before I get back to the calls. Let's see. If Nassib improves dramatically, this from at MHale21, then all three quarterbacks are cut. Freeman, Smith, Painter, I think there's a good chance of that being true. I think if Nassib proves he can be the number two, I think all those guys are gone. At Dinavi08, if you're willing to wait until round three to pick up a tight end, if Ebron is gone in round one, or if you decide not to pick him, who are you looking to grab in round two? If I don't grab a skill position guy in round one, I would try to pick a wide receiver in round two. And then I would go Fedorowicz in round three from Iowa. I think he'd probably still be there. That would be my plan. If I go either offensive line or, defensive line to a lesser extent, I think you got to go wide receiver round two, tight end round three. That's the way I would do it. Now, if you pick Donald in the first round, then what are you doing offensive line-wise? I think that to me is why I would hesitate picking Aaron Donald in the first round, because that would make me neglect either wide receiver, tight end, or offensive line in those first three rounds. And really, the way I've kind of focused on this draft, guys, and I know the defensive line and the pass rush has to get better, but I think at least you have a chance. Here's how I look at it. There's a lot of better chance of Demontre Moore, Jason Pierre-Paul, Kiwanuka, Cohen Jenkins coming together and figuring out a way to rushing the passer than it is for this group of Giants tight ends to figure out a way to be very productive, for the Giants wide receivers to draw double teams away from Victor Cruz, for this Giants offensive line to protect Eli Manning, depending on will be to get back from this injury, keeping J.D. Walton on the field, Chris Knee getting back from the hip surgeries. I think there's a better chance of the defensive linemen on this team, you know, playing above expectations than those other groups. That's why I would hesitate picking a pass rusher in the first couple of rounds. That's my point. Mr. Easy to you, with flux at the back of quarterback position, if Aaron Murray, that's the quarterback from Georgia, drops to the fifth or sixth, do you pull the trigger? I think you have to. I like Murray. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Remember, he was, I think, the number one quarterback in the class in the offseason. But honestly, look, you used a fourth-round pick in Ryan Nassib last year. Unless Johnny Manziel's, like, sitting there in round two, all right, or Blake Bortles is sitting there in round two, which ain't going to happen, I really don't think you can take a quarterback this year. I really don't. Let's see. How does from I'm Too Young at DRockBB underscore, how does Allen Robinson compare to Akeem Nicks on tape? Nick's more of a big play guy, more upside. Allen Robinson's very solid. He's more of a polished wide receiver. I think he can come and help right away, but he's not going to be that big play guy that Nicks was. Let's see. What else do we have like here? From at Night Moves NJ, if Beattie has another year like last year, Eli will not make it through the season. I think that's probably fair. Can't argue with that. And I think someone made this point. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, who the most important player on both sides of the ball is, and I said it was Reuben Randle. I was convinced otherwise by a couple of smart fans that said Will Beattie. He probably might be the most important player for the Giants this year. Now, if they draft a left tackle in the first round, that can be his replacement. If he can't go, then less important because you have that guy behind him. But still very, very important. Let's see. If Beattie can't go, move Pugh to left, James Brewer to right, draft a guard, and that'll help the running game. Well, that's assuming James Brewer should be good enough to play right tackle. I would not necessarily trust him to be a starter, considering what he's shown when he's been on the field. Mike Farmer, stadium draft party was a good time last year. Pictures on the field, got autographs, visited the locker room, good times. Well, there you go. So if you can find a way to get to that stadium draft party, do it. It is a lot of fun. And then we have a bunch of other people talking about the draft parties and stuff like that. Let's see. Did you hear that the Giants picked a center, Dallas Reynolds? Yeah, the Giants do have a backup center on their roster, Dallas Reynolds. He started for the Eagles a couple years ago. He got picked up mid-season last year. Big money, I would like Ryan Jazeera in the second round. Not going to be there. He'll be gone late first. Or Xavier Suafilo, I think there's a chance he could be there. Let's see. J-Rock, Giants might just draft a small school player in the first round that no one is talking about, like they've done in the years past, a.k.a. JPP. Look, who knows? I'd be surprised if they drafted somebody I haven't mentioned over the past few weeks, but I feel like we've mentioned everybody, to be quite honest with you. If they draft somebody that we haven't mentioned, they're a lot smarter than any of us think. Or a lot dumber. One or the other. I'm not sure which one. Oh, man. All right, I think that's pretty good here. Sonny Boy trading back to the Texans. That's a good point. Again, I think it's interesting. I think Houston could be a team that could trade back into the first round. If they go Clowney round one, they want a quarterback. They trade back into the second round, in the first round, to pick whatever best quarterback's left on the board. If a Bortles or a Manziel drops, or maybe they really like a Derek Carr or a Bridgewater. But, you know, to me, I think the Texans are in a great spot here. They can take Clowney in round one, then they can get Teddy Bridgewater with their first second round pick. I mean, you're basically getting your two quarterbacks. Bridgewater is expected to be a top five pick, the number one pick overall 3 months ago. That could be a steal. Let's go back to the phones. We have three people on the line. We'll take you guys, then we will say toodaloo. Let's go to Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, for someone that's given up on the season, you've been calling up an awful lot.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why.
I guess I'm just that damn charismatic, aren't I?
That's right. Hey, that's the only reason, man.
What's up, dude?
Hey, I'm going to channel Ernie Accorsi and George Young. So I'm going to be the GM here for a minute. I look at our the way I look at the draft is that we have to beat the guys in our division, and I think Coughlin gets that. And you got to look at what's their weaknesses, what's their strengths. All three teams, their weaknesses, the Eagles, Washington, and Dallas, is defense. They don't have a good defense. Their strength is their offense, their quarterbacks. So when I look at that, like I said, if we can go 6-0 in our division, all we have to do is be 500 the last 10 games, and we're 11-5. We win the division hands down. So to me is we have to draft for our division. We have to get free agents for our division. And to me is, what are you going to do? I think we still need one good playmaker for the offense. We need a wide receiver or we need a tight end. And the reason we need a tight end is because Jerry Reese let Bennett go, and he wouldn't pick up Jake Ballard. And the reason we need a wide receiver, big playmaker, is because we didn't go after LaShawn Jackson, which was stupid to me because we would have taken him out of our division, who kills us all the time. He wins games against us by himself, which he's done, and he would have won one or two games for us. So there's three games right there we would have had to win if we had got LaShawn Jackson. We wouldn't be going into the draft looking for a wide receiver. We wouldn't be going into the draft looking for a tight end. But we are because of that.
You are willing to invest that much money in another miniature wide receiver that would fit quite nicely next to Victor Cruz and Jarrell Jernigan.
Yeah, because the guy's a playmaker.
You.
I mean, this guy, he kills us all the time. That's why What's-His-Face in Washington, the owner of Washington, said, I'm so glad to get this guy because now he's not going to beat us anymore, and now he's playing for us.
Yeah, because Charlie, in fairness, you know, Daniel Snyder's made so many really good decisions in free agency the last few years. He's the guy you want to try to emulate.
Yeah, well, I'm not – no, but at that point, he's right. LaShawn Jackson is a great wide receiver, and he's a playmaker. That's what we need. And also, he can return punts for touchdowns with 8 seconds left on the clock, if you remember. So anyway, I think we missed out on that. So now we're going in with holes again. But I look at it as we need to get defense, because how we're going to beat these teams is stopping their offense. And how are you going to stop their offense? You need a great pass rush. We've got the secondary now, but we have no pass rush. And how are you going to get a great pass rush? You need to stop the run. And, of course, Reese made another problem for us because he let go two defensive tackles that were stopping the run, which we finally did last year.
And you replaced them with two defensive linemen that stopped the run. Robert Ayers is just as good of a run stopper as Justin Tuck was last year. And Jonathan Hankins profiles is just as good of a run stopper as Linval Joseph.
Yeah, profile. Also, what happens if one of these guys get injured? We need depth in the defensive line.
Well, but Charlie, there's a salary cap. You want to re-sign everybody. You don't have enough money.
No, I don't want to re-sign everybody. I'm just saying we could have. How much did LaShawn Jackson get?
LaShawn Jackson got about $10 million a year.
What was his guaranteed money? $10
million. It was definitely double digits, yeah.
It was?
Yeah, I believe it was. I think it was about a two-year. What did he get to LaShawn Jackson? 2 years, 20-something million with $10 million guaranteed, something like that?
Yeah, $10 million guaranteed. So you're talking $5 million a year. Okay? You could have got him for $6 million a year guaranteed. Because the rest of the money doesn't matter. You could say he got $100 million.
No, that's
it doesn't matter.
No,
it's
but Charlie,
guaranteed.
If he's on your team, you have to pay his base salary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. But the thing is nobody ends up on the team. They always cut them or they restructure their contract.
Wait, time out. So they want to cut LaShawn Jackson? Which one is it? Do you want him here to pay him $10 million?
Or do you want
to cut him? It's one or the other. You can't
cut
have
him,
both.
But that's what the Giants do. That's what teams do.
But you still have
to
write him. But Charlie,
if
it's a 2 year contract, all right?
Yes.
All the money matters. Because there's no such thing as cutting somebody. All the money's count. If you sign LaShawn Jackson for 2 years, he's going to be on your team for two seasons. And if you're paying him $10 million a year, you have to write checks for $10 million a year. It's taking up $10 million a year in salary cap space. This isn't a contract where it's a six-year deal and you have $15 million of unguaranteed money in year number six. This is a two-year contract for somebody in his prime. LaShawn Jackson's getting that money.
Right, and it's in his prime, okay? So that's what I'm saying. I think we should have gone after him. We would have solved some problems that we have with holes and playmakers. So what I'm saying is we need to get our defense to beat their offenses and to win those six games against our division. So you need to go defensive line. You need to get a pass rush. You need to stop the run. That's where we should go in the first round. Then we need to get a playmaker because we don't have one now. So we got to get our tight end. Or we got to get a wide receiver. And the wide receiver class is a lot of depth, so we can get a wide receiver later. But to me, Ebron is would be the guy to get. He wants to be a Giant. He wants to play for the Giants. He said it. He's dreamt his whole life of playing for the Giants. Here's a guy that is an incredible tight end. He will be. And I don't think we'll take him. We're going to go after Zach Martin, or we're going to get some offensive linemen like we did last year. And so, Giant Nation, don't be disappointed when Ebron's still on the board and we picked Zach Martin, because that's what I think Reese is going to do. So, I mean, I would go defense, because that's how we're going to beat the other teams in our division. And that's all we have to do. We win those six games, we can go 500, and we can be 11-5. So, I mean, that's what you got to do. What do you think, John?
I think the team, has to get to 9 or 10 to win the division. I think there are a lot of different ways to get there. I understand you want to rush the passer, but you got to score points. If the Giants want to make it to the playoffs this year, they better average 24 points a game. And right now, with the guys they have on offense in terms of receivers and tight ends and weapons for Eli Manning, I don't think they're capable of doing that.
Yeah, that's why we need one big playmaker. We need a big playmaker, tight end, or we need a wide receiver. But also, in McAdoo's offense, remember, the running back is going to be very important because he catches a lot of passes. So we need a running back that can catch passes.
And Jennings is a very good receiver.
Well, there we go. So there's this one need filled. So I think in his offense, McAdoo's offense, he uses a tight end a lot. So we're going to see how much power he has to do his own offense. If they pick Ebron, then McAdoo has some pull, because I don't think Reese in 100 years would pick a tight end in the first round. So hopefully, if he is still there, that's who they pick. But I think they're going to go for defensive line or defensive end. Reese is going to pick somebody up that we're not talking about, that is like a JPP from a small school that has a lot of upside. That Emmanuel Dyke out of Georgia Tech that I was talking about, he's one of those guys, but definitely not first round.
Right.
But so we're going to see what happens. But to me, how do we beat the people in our division? That's how you do it. You do it with defense, because they have their strengths is offense, and their weaknesses is their defense. So all we got to do is stop them, maybe 10 points less, we win. We win six games. And to me, that's how we do it. We got to do it with defense.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, have a great weekend.
You too, man. Have a good
one.
Well, it's only Tuesday, Charlie. Have a great weekend when I'm not going to air for you for 3 days. Come on now. By the way, DeSean Jackson, 4 years, $32 million. $16 million fully guaranteed in the first 2 years. And then less guaranteed money the last two. But there you go. So I did remember that incorrectly, but there you have it. 201-939-4513. Matt in Delaware. Matt, what's going on?
How's it going, John? I was just wondering, if we do end up trading back, nobody takes any of those quarterbacks. Who do you like for us to take in those in a later round pick? I was thinking Calvin Benjamin, maybe Tony Ealy. But who do you like if we were to trade back like that?
You talking about around number 25, in that area?
Yeah, something like that.
If you're picking around 25, let's see. You could still pick either the top guard available if you want to go that way. Joel Bitonio is a guy that could play tackle and guard. That could be a late first round pick. If you want to go offensive line, if you want to go wide receiver, Odell Beckham will probably be off the board at that point. If there's a chance that Marquise Lee could drop to you in the mid to late 20s, I would consider that. I'm not a big Kelvin Benjamin guy. I think he's too much of a project despite his size. Devontae Adams is a wide receiver you could look at. If you want to talk about defensive linemen, I like the DeMarcus Lawrence kid out of Boise State more than I like Coney Ealy. I would consider him really late in the first round. The Scott Crichton kid out of Oregon State is another guy I would think about, though I think probably first round's a little bit too early for him. Who else is good there at the end of the first round that I would consider? If one of the top safeties, if Calvin Pryor somehow dropped to 25 or 26, if you really are giving up on Will Hill, I think that's somebody you can take a look at in that spot. If C.J. Mosley really plummets down draft boards, he's somebody you consider. Ryan Shazier, a playmaking linebacker out of Ohio State, if he's there at the end of the first round, you can put him in a Will linebacker. He's a heck of a football player. He's somebody you could look at in that spot. But I think you'd have your choice of wide receivers. If you want, you could even pick, if you have a second best tight end on the list that you really like, maybe you really like Austin Seferian Jenkins, you can consider him, you know, between 28 and 30. I think they would have a lot of options, and I think that's the advantage of trading back, is that there are a lot of different players of close to equal value, and you can really pick the guy that you like the best.
Okay. And also on the Willow thing, is there any – there's no update on that, I'm sure, right now, right?
On Will Hill?
Yeah.
No, there is not.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I wish I could get you guys an update on Will Hill. That's why I asked Tom Rock that question to close out that interview. But right now it's still just, speculation at that point. Dave from Rochester, I love Angry John. Yeah, Charlie pushed my buttons a little bit that time. He really did. He got me going. I've been pretty calm the last few days, I got to be honest. But last few weeks, really. But got me a little wild, which is always fun. I like that. That's why we love Charlie. Charlie gets me going a little bit. We like that. And hitting cleanup. I don't remember the last time this guy was the last caller of the show. And I haven't heard from him, I feel like, in a few days. And that's Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, bud?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Len. How about you? How was your weekend?
Good. First thing I want to say is this draft can't come soon enough. Oh, my God.
I know.
No wonder everybody's edgy and agitated. And hey, let's get this thing over with. Come on, let's pick our 7 Hall of Famers and go on from there.
Now, Len, to me, Zach Martin seems like your type of guy. If I was Len in Maryland, that's the guy I would be focusing on.
You read me right. I'm leaning in that direction. Let me say this: if we go with Donald in the first pick, obviously I'll grit my teeth and put him in the Hall of Fame on the first day. But, you know, somebody better get out to Pittsburgh and weigh this guy one more time. You know, I mean, if we're going to go Donald, let's make sure he's really 285. John, 12th pick in the draft, if we pick Donald, please assure me that we won't hear from anybody, callers, guys in the front office, you, about year in the weight room. We need somebody on day one who's going to start and contribute. I don't want a rotational tackle on defense. I want a player who's going to, when we draft him, Jerry's writing it in pen, not even in pencil, John. 12th pick in the draft. We need some impact players on that first pick. By the way, I'll take 4-2 in the division, John, and live with 6-4 for the rest of the schedule. Win 10, beat St. Louis in game 15 just before the holiday in St. Louis, and we're in the playoffs, John. I think if we go 4-2 in the division, we can go 6-4 with the rest of that schedule. 6-4 with the rest of the schedule.
If you can go 4-2 in the division, you're putting yourself in a very good position to make the playoffs. Very
absolutely.
Good. I agree.
Absolutely.
I think that's
absolutely
fair.
I think that's a big thing, and of course, I probably the only thing I want to look long range on, John. It's with Eli's tenure. I've said this before. 18-6 in the division the next 4 years.
Hey, look, Len. Here's the bottom line to me, and this is why I bring up what I bring up all the time. People say, look, you have these great offenses in the division. The Redskins, RG3, is going to be healthy. You add DeSean Jackson, Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, Dallas with, obviously DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and all those guys and Terrence Williams and Tony Romo. That, you need to enforce your defense to try to slow these teams down. Well, the way I look at it is that I don't care how good your defense is. Those teams are going to score points on you. They're going to put up 20-some points if you play these guys in a game, okay? Either via defensive touchdown or whatever. They're going to score their 24, 27 points. Your offense better be able to match these guys. And right now, if you look at the talent of the playmakers on all four teams in the division, the Giants easily, and it's frankly not close, at the playmaking positions, have the least talent of any other team in this division in terms of players at the playmaking positions.
Absolutely. That's where we got to go. We got to concentrate on the offensive side. We got to protect Eli in more ways than just blockers up front. We got to give this guy a chance to do what he does best. And I think he'll come through for us. It seems to me 10 through 14 in the draft, we're not going to throw any names there. Whatever numbers there are on the board, John, on the Giants board, 10 through 14, whoever those guys are, they're going to be close. I mean, they're going to be real close, John. So one thing that Tom Rock said, I picked up, it was a half sentence, almost like he added it on to the sentence. It was kind of a throwaway line, but it made an awful lot of sense, John.
What's that?
Two things. You have to, you know, he alluded to protecting Eli and so forth. But, you know, it's all about what are the Giants envision, the offense is going to be. That's really the key thing. I mean, what are they going to try to accomplish? I mean, what do they want to accomplish? And then the player falls into place. All right, maybe it's best player available on offense. They got to go offense, Sean. But what do they want to turn this offense into? It's what's going to dictate that first pick. And I just think it's, you know, as long as Tom Coughlin's at the helm here, it's going to be about protecting Eli, and I think he thinks offensive line first. Not that he doesn't like those big rangy wide receivers. And I think the LSU guy is a legit choice at number one if that's the way they want to go.
I feel like Beckham's really rising up a lot of boards around the league, and I'm on the verge of putting him legitimately in the mix for the Giants at 12.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, but back to your guessing who my pick would be. I just think it's Martin. We got to go in that direction. Hope that Beatty is okay. But Phil Martin, and I mean, we've got like 2.5 guys on the offensive line, John. I mean, we don't know about Beatty in game one. I mean, we don't know about Walden. It's Pugh in the guard, and I just think we need one more guy along those lines. And it's not a sexy choice. I mean, it's an offensive guard. But listen, that's the workmanlike, those are the workmanlike people that we need to get this offense, humming. The one thing with Ebron, John, oh, wow. Just imagine. First series of the season, I'm already thinking about the season, John. First series of the season, and we've got Ebron. I don't think we should pick him, but let me just give you this lineup. We got Randall flanked out left. We got Ebron flanked out right. And we got Cruz in the slot. 3rd and 5, John. Well, coming out of that lineup, we'll have 30 first downs a game, John.
Sounds pretty nice. Having Cruz and Ebron as options on third down out in the red zone.
And Ebron outside and Cruz in the slot. A tight end who can come from the outside. I'm still drafting Zach Martin, but I'm just dreaming about. I'm still dreaming about what it would be like with a receiver, of that magnitude, flanking out with Cruz, Cruz inside. Wow. Hey, listen, this draft can't, it just can't come soon enough. Let's get this over with. Let's get these Hall of Famers signed. Let's just get on with it. Stay offense. First 5 rounds. Load it up. Look, listen, we made our choice on defense, John. We made our choice. We let Joseph go. We let Tuck go. We live with it. It's up to Hankins. It's up to Ayers. It's up to Kiwi. And it's up to, Pierre Paul, Beeson. We made our choice on defense. That's where we were going back there in March at the start of free agency. Let's live with it. Protect Eli. Let's go Giants, 10-6. Beat St. Louis in game 15. We're going to go 10-6, and we're in the playoffs, buddy.
Thank you, Len.
And we'll talk to you later in the week.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good
one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And by the way, I should do a little tease now. Tomorrow we'll have Dane Brugler at 10 o'clock from CBS Sports. He will give us a lowdown on what he thinks is going on with the draft, his latest rumors, what he's hearing from people around the league. On Thursday we'll have Tony Pauline from Draft Insider. He'll be joining us, and on Friday we're still working on trying to get somebody on from NFL.com/NFL Network do the draft. Lance will be with us on Friday. Next week we will have, what are we doing next week? Next week we're going to have Matt Miller from Bleacher Report on Tuesday. Pete Domelatis will join us at some point as well. If we can't get an NFL guy on Friday, Pete will join us on Friday. Otherwise, he'll join us at some point next week. And I will also be joined by a Giants beat reporter next week as well. So very busy up until the draft. Try to get you some good information, some good nuggets, and we'll go from there. Everybody, good job on the phones. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:30 on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live. And as a reminder, Jerry Reese's press conference will be streamed live on Giants.com Thursday at 12:30. So make sure you check that out as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com. Everybody, have a great day. Survive that rain.